Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
And welcome to the 489th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my definitely more awake than me co-host. We've got the one and only Linian.
That's a lie.
It might be, I don't know. Today's pretty close. And then we've also got P. McGee.
I am caffeinating as we speak to try to hold to that statement of being more awake.
I'm also caffeinated. So, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name the Royal Wii came up with in 2007.
So nice of Her Majesty to do that for us, you know?
Yeah, it was the Queen. It was the Queen herself. I flew all the way to England. I was like, ma'am, I live in the great royal colony of Canada. Could you please bless this name? And I totally don't live in Indiana. And we got her to bless the name Puckle. But of course, we talk everything here Pokemon, from the video game to the trading card game to everything in between. Turns out the Queen's a big fan as well. So made it easier. Yeah, we're here. We're excited to talk about some Pokemon things today, and we're gonna have a good time. So, have you guys been up to anything fun? I've been up to fun things, but I don't want to control the conversation like I have the past couple weeks.
I finally finished the one Pokemon game I've never touched, which was Black White 2.
Really? That's sad. That's like a good one.
I know. I was having a rough time, and it was the edgy phase everyone hits where they're like, I'm too old for this. And it happened to be during Black White 2. So I never finished it, which I felt needed corrected, so I ended up wrapping that up about a week ago.
Oh man, yeah, no, that was actually like one of the better ones. Yeah. Like if somebody came up to me in something like 5 years and was just like, "Yeah, I finished the one Pokemon game I never finished before, Sun and Moon," and I'd be like, "Oh, okay,
sorry for you.
You could have missed out on that one.
This hurts.
You could have missed out on that one." I'd say Black 2 and White 2 is a good, that's a good one though. Like that's fun to play actually. To like go back and play.
I didn't realize how many things I'm conditioned to at this point. Like I had a Magnezone and I was running around and then someone used a dark move and then I took half damage and I was stunned.
Yay.
For a solid 10 seconds. Like what?
Yeah, that was before.
That was a Gen 6 thing.
I'm actually really impressed with how consistent they've kept the type chart since Gen 6.
It's barely been overhauled.
I don't think it's been touched since Fairy type was added. I don't think it's been touched whatsoever.
Nope.
And that blows my mind because there's been like constant tweaks to the type chart throughout the years. It's like absolutely nutsos. I'm very impressed that we have gone, I guess now, 8 years without the type chart changing.
When you say it like that, it sounds a lot longer than I
Yeah. I mean that's how long it's been, because I think maybe it didn't change between, I swear it changed between Gen 3 and Gen, somewhere between in Gen 3 to Gen 5 as well, for something small, but
I don't know that it.
No, I think
it. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it didn't.
It was solid between Gen 2 and 6.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So they overhaul like once a decade.
Once a decade.
Changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been 10 years. Take a resistance off Steel, add a type, call it a day.
Well, Steel was kind of bonkers because of that. And Fairy type, giving it a something it's good against with Fairy type was definitely worthwhile.
And also let them make Aegislash. Can you imagine if that thing was neutral to Dark and Ghost?
Oh my gosh, right? It would have been bad. No, I think they did a very good job doing that nerf to Steel, because at that point, I think Steel would, like, resisted something like 11 to 13 types, which is a lot.
One might say excessive.
Water and electric were the only things hitting it neutrally. I'm trying to go through the math on that.
So prior to Gen 6, it resisted Bug, Dark, Dragon, Flying, Ghost, Grass, Ice, Normal, Psychic, Rock, Steel. So that's 11. Immune to Poison. So that's kind of like
12.
That's kind of like 12. And so they're just like, well, we're going to make Fairy. It resists Fairy, so maybe we should get rid of something.
Oh, we've got Aegislash coming in. Maybe we shouldn't let him have all those resists.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we shouldn't. I mean, it makes no sense to me why Ghost and Dark got resisted, but...
No.
It also made Bronzong kind of silly, because yes. It was like, Ground or Fire, pick a weakness.
Yep.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
It's still true. Ugh. It's still kind of true.
Yeah, but those used to be its only weaknesses. Yeah. It was got to pick the only thing that could hurt you, and everyone picked ground, because obviously. But, you know.
Well, especially prior to Gen 6, I would say that's the right choice. Because Earthquake is just so spammable. It still is spammable. It's very spammable. And I think just you go levitate. That's just how the world works. Unfortunately, you give something a base 100 move with base 100 accuracy, and
you know, an immunity versus a neutral hit, like...
Yep.
Oh, and ground is also just, like, a decent type all around to begin with, like...
Very sammable. Edgequake is always a really good combination of attacks, because very few things in the meta resist that.
Only, like, two things resist it, right? So... It was kind of nuts, it was... Wow. That's Gen 1, I was going to say. Oh, Gen 2 onwards, yeah. Okay, there we go. There's two things, there's like two sections on Bulbapedia for like ground type effectiveness. I was like, what changed? And I was like, was it not super effective against steel types? And I saw it was a Gen 2 and not like a Gen 6 onwards.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh man, that would have been bad. Could you imagine a world in which steel types not weak to ground for forever?
Oh no.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no. I mean, Fairy was like a much needed balance, though. I was very excited once, like, I learned the type chart to Fairy.
I felt bad that Bug got shafted again.
Bug did just get another, shafted.
Just another type to make Bug not a good type to use anyway competitively, because Steel and Fairy dominate.
They just, like, threw it there, too. Like,
I know.
It was just, like, a backhanded insult after they designed this, like, really cool type chart, and they're just like, you know what? Screw Bug. Bug, you Fairy resist.
Terrible shape. Get down.
And so I think that's always a good giggle, because they're just like, yeah, Bug. Fairy should totally resist Bug. And I think honestly, I would be cool with the meta in which like Fairy type was weak to Bug, but that's just me.
Inverse battles. Say hello.
Well, I want more than just inverse battles, but.
I feel like if they ever mix up the type chart again, Fairy is probably one of the ones they have to look at the most.
Oh, absolutely. I think Fairy, especially Gen 7, like showed that Fairy type is a very good type.
Well, and like, so Steel, most a lot of the Steel mons are defensive. So a lot of the Steel attacks that are either being used out there either aren't stab or they aren't very strong. And so if you're a bulky Fairy, you just kind of sit there like LeFable does.
Yep.
And then Poison's not a great coverage move a lot of the time because Steel is immune and Steel is everywhere. So
absolutely.
Happy Fairies.
Absolutely. No, I think if we were going to rebalance a type, it would be Fairy. It needs something else. Like something else needs to be good against it.
Ghost weakness. No, that would...
I'm all totally for it. Fire, like, resisting it, by the way, I think that was one of the best things they did. Because Fire honestly needed a buff.
A defensive buff.
And that was a really good one. I was a big fan of that. Like, they're just, like, so many little tweaks. It's almost how I feel about everything they did in Gen 8. I look at Urshifu and I just see, like, it's like how a mechanic admires, like, a beautifully crafted engine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, oh, this is gonna run so efficiently. And, like, I look at Urshifu and I'm just like, man, this thing was designed to run efficiently.
Yeah, it's tired of protect spam.
Yeah, well, it was like it does something interesting, but it doesn't do it in such a way that it breaks the game. Like, Urshifu's so perfect in that way. I love it.
I love the fact it outspeeds Mimikyu by one, because Mimikyu dominated online in Gen 7.
They totally did that on purpose.
I'm going to outspeed you by one.
They totally did it on purpose. All of that's on purpose.
Oh, 100%.
And then Rapid Strike, like, breaks its disguise. It's wonderful. It's just, they knew what they were doing.
100%.
I love it, and I really appreciate that. Now, please make the timer longer.
We're almost there.
We're almost there. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if BDSP had, like, a giant timer.
And then it does the Let's Go thing where it restricts the decks.
Yeah, it does the Let's Go thing where it only has Gen 4 mons.
Yep. Just to punish you.
Yep. Oh, man. Well, in OG Diamond and Pearl, there wasn't a timer at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there wasn't a timer at all. There was just no timer. Honest remake. It was like, it was before cell phones were real big and like internet calling was really big at the time, like before Skype got like huge. Mm-hmm. And I remember before, like, my friend and I would, like, get on, like, a Wi-Fi battle just to, like, talk through our DSs at each other. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was the jankiest cell phone that ever existed. The sound quality, from my memory, wasn't that bad. So, kudos to you, Nintendo, and your Nintendo DS. But other than that, I think this is... I know Mickey didn't get to tell us all the wonderful things he said, but he's done, but... I'm sure he's done wonderful things.
That's okay. I'm just having fun with Jigglypuff. But that's all.
We're going to kick it on over to the news.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower. Just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we've got absolutely nothing to talk about, so we're going to stretch this to 15 minutes, guys.
So, P. McGee, what'd you do?
Yeah, right. So, what did you do this week? Pokemon Home will be receiving an update in June. No idea what it entails. They announced an update for Pokemon Home, which one is super weird and two super dumb. Because everybody's going to get excited. I don't even know what kind of update you make for Pokemon Home that would matter at this point.
I don't know.
Better searching, I guess?
And why would you announce it 2 months in advance? Have they done that? I don't even know if they've done that.
They've announced it like right before it's going to happen, just so people know, but not this far in advance. So obviously the hypothesizing is going to be awful for the next 2 months.
Absolutely.
People think about every scenario this entails for how they get all the Pokemon back in Sword and Shield.
I have no idea.
But this isn't even an update for Sword and Shield. No. This is just an update for Home.
Yeah, it's just an update for Home, not for Sword and Shield, right? So
yeah.
This is just the equivalent of pulling a pin on a grenade, tossing it in a room, and shutting the door. Like...
How do you go, yeah, we're going to update Pokemon Home in 2 months. It's just like, with what? Like, you're gonna let me trade with my friends over the internet maybe finally? I don't know.
That'd be too kind.
I would be okay with it if it were, I don't want to say exactly like Pokemon Go in terms of just like a Pokemon storage box, but I would be more okay with it if it was more like, if I was more mobile with it, or if I could be more mobile with it. And be like, hey, this is my hub, and I want to trade Linny and some Pokemon that's not in Sword and Shield right now. Right? Like, say I want to send him a Venomoth, which is going to be gone forever.
Yep.
That's okay.
I couldn't hop on Sword and Shield and trade him a Venomoth, but I have one on Home, and he needs it to finish his Home National decks. And
anyone who saw me stream Let's Go knows that I'm not catching anything in that game.
So we can't do that, and I want to be able to do that. I don't think it's... I think it's literally one of the dumbest moves they've made.
Yeah, I can agree to that.
I think that is pretty stupid. I would love to see... I mean, I like, as I say all the time, I would love to see the rest of the Pokemon come to Switch, but like you said, it's not a Switch update. It's just a Pokemon Home update. The only thing that I ever want out of Pokemon Home that will never get added because I want it, I would really love to see, like, a battle sim. Or not sim, I guess, just like a battle thing on there. Kind of like Showdown, but with the Pokemon I have in Home.
Yeah. That would be the one great addition they can make that I think mm-hmm. people would be really excited about, other than the trading, of course.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be uber exciting if you could just battle people on Home. I think that would
be
uber
so exciting. They could announce it 2 months in advance.
No, I'm not gonna ride the hype train. I'm going to say it's for bug fixes or some nonsense.
They just really wanted us to know.
They had some. They didn't have any other announcements going on. But I also wouldn't be surprised if something big happens around June, end of May, or June area.
Yeah, that's just like the right time.
We should definitely get more information about like what's coming on with, with BDSP.
Something.
Absolutely. Well, so like E3 usually happens and there's usually something Pokemon adjacent at E3, around E3.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually like, here's a Pokemon news drop like a week before E3.
Yep.
And then at E3, they go ahead and they play the game or whatever. But who knows what E3 is going to look like again this year because COVIDing outside still and
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just it's weird. It just means it means to me that there's something that's going to happen that's probably going to be like, hey, we're going to let Pokemon in from this or this. Around
Pokemon
around
sleep.
E3.
That's what it is.
Please no. please no. I would really appreciate it. All right. So next piece of news, I'll let McGee go for it.
Yeah. We're so barren on the news front right now. We're still talking about what's going on in the anime. So Go's Sobble is now a Drizzile, which is kind of neat. But the problem with Ash having a fully evolved team like a year and a half into the anime is nothing happens in the anime anymore. So
yes. Well,
kind of
have
to count
Go.
On Go to do things.
We have Go.
Yeah. But he only has like three things he carries with him, all the starters, and one of them's already fully evolved, so.
He also evolved a Caesar.
He did evolve a Caesar. That's true.
Aren't those like within the episode though, basically?
No,
that's
no, that one actually was like several months later.
Okay.
So he has like, the way Go works is he just like catches all the Pokemon and they just like,
yeah,
they all just make cameos afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like he's just like, these are the ones I decided to bring with me today. Haha. That's kind of how it works.
Interesting.
The way I view Go is much more like the manga concept of how Pokemon works.
Yes.
Though I'm sure the way TPCI sees it Go is how every Pokemon Go player is. I do have problems with that for a lot of reasons, but...
he can't be what every Pokemon Go player is like. I haven't seen him name any of his Pokemon something inappropriate to leave at a church.
I also haven't seen him sit in front of a church with 20 phones. doing a raid, so
just God. Full Phantom of the Opera with an organ of phones.
I've seen this. Have you never seen this?
I have.
There's some images that have circulated around of guys like in like a vehicle or a bike or something like that with like
I've witnessed this in person.
Yeah.
There is like I went to a raid at like a Sprint store or something. A guy pulls up in a car next to me while like me and my wife are doing like some 3-star raid or something. And he pulls up and he just like, you just see him pick up like this fan of phones and put it on his lap in his car. And he just starts tapping every single phone. And I'm just like, what is going on? I'm just like, oh my gosh. I can't imagine that's like that profitable of like a business venture, but maybe it is. I don't know. I'm curious now.
Rich people pay stupid catch. Money for stupid things.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, because like, there's got to be like an eBay market for that, right?
100%.
Yeah. Like buy a level 40 account. Level 40 Pokemon Go account, right? So like, I wonder how much that would go for right now. It's not even that expensive. Level 40 accounts are like $35. I can buy one right now.
Huh.
Well, then that's not a very profitable enterprise.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Wow.
All 20 of those phones... That at $35 a pop, that's like $600.
Okay. If you start including legendaries on the account, though, and not just like the level 40 account, then the price goes up. There it is.
Okay.
There it goes. It goes up to like $100 and some. It's still not like terribly expensive. It's just something stupid to buy. Like, I want to know who's buying that. Who's like, yeah, I need to be level 40 in Pokemon Go like right now.
I don't know. The same people that buy loot boxes and skins for their avatars.
I guess so.
People that
I
just like
know.
To throw money away at
I don't understand.
Silly things like that.
I don't understand.
How else exactly... am I going to get idle skin Aatrox? It's worth the $20.
on Pokemon Go, there's new things happening in it.
There always are, aren't there?
It's actually... Okay, I have opinions about this since I started playing again, but I'll talk about them later.
Okay, Niantic has announced the next event, the sustainability event. Just know that this hurts me as much as anyone listening. Increased spawns for Trubbish and Grimer, and the introduction of Binacle, they're doing my boy dirty, pun not intended. Field research for Cottonee, Chespin, and more. Real life tie-in, where accomplishing certain sustainable tasks will lead to in-game awards. Rewards, that too. The event runs April 20th through April 25th.
I'm a fan of this after I started playing again, only because, I mean, as a longer time player, like, I obviously have everything and I don't care about catching mm-hmm. Pidgey, but they've already, like, they're doing such, like, the idea is they have, like, this new baseline with their seasons they've been doing. So right now we're in, like, Seasons of Legends. Mm-hmm. And so the baseline wild Pokemon are just, like, a mixture of all of the Pokemon from the different events they're doing this season.
Uh-huh.
Which has been kind of cool. So, like, all the time you're catching, like, Nidoran from, like, the, this is Rivals Week right now. At the time of recording. So, like, you find Nidoran, you find, like, Pyroar and stuff. Or not Pyroar, Litleo. Stuff like that. And those are around even when the event's not going. Their just spawns are just increased during the event.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're not really missing out. But it's a lot better than just being like, yes, Pidgey is here all the time. Or something like that. And then, like, you have to wait for an event to roll around. It's kind of nifty in that regard. I like that model a little bit better than what they've been doing. I don't know. It's kind of neat. And I'm kind of a fan of this, especially because Grimer is, like, a hard one to get in the wild. An OG Pokemon Go, like, literally the last Kanto Pokemon I caught in Pokemon Go, I caught a Mewtwo before this, before I caught a Grimer. Like, that's the kind of level of nonsense it is. That's where we are there. All right, McGee, I think you're on this last one.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's another event kind of happening around the same time. So Pokemon Go has a Friendship Day on April 24th from 11.
So next Saturday. That's exciting.
11 a.m. to 2 p.m. local time. So there's increased spawns of certain grass type Pokemon like Chespin and Cottonee. It contains a collection challenge that can give up to 100,000 experience points. Pretty good, especially if you're a lower level. Some global challenges with hourly 20,000 XP rewards. Increased chance of getting a lucky Pokemon when trading with a friend. And then 3x catch experience, which is actually pretty nice. Yes. Incense and lure modules last 3 hours, and trade distance is bumped up to 40
kilometers.
Wait,
is it really just 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., or is it supposed to be 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.? 2 p.m. I was going to say.
No, it's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say. Okay, that makes sense.
I math very badly when making this at 11:30 at night.
It's all
right. I converted military time and I did it poorly.
It's okay. It's fine. It's, I mean, I'm a fan. I like this. Like, I'm not going to say, like, I'm the biggest Pokemon Go advocate right now because the game's broken as all broken right now. Like, they literally had, like, a baby update for the game, and then they're just like, so Rocket, Team Rocket counters, those break the game now. So we turned them off, and that was a week ago now, and they still haven't come back. And you remember how they increased the level cap to level 50, but from level 40 to level 50, you have to, like, complete challenges to get to the next level? To go from level 44 to level 45, it's all Team Rocket stuff.
Perfect.
So you can make literally zero progress on that right now. They are just, like, lighting up the Twitter about it. It's kind of hilarious.
Because that always makes TPCI change, and Niantic, they've never ignored that before.
Yeah, they've never. So Niantic responds at least, but they respond with, "We're sorry, it'll come back soon, probably." And it makes me giggle because it's been a week now, and I want to know if they come back. Maybe by the time the show comes out, they'll be back. But as of this show, it's been like a solid week. It's kind of frustrating. But yeah, no, that's a decent Go event. So finally, in some Puckle news, we want you guys all to watch out for a survey that's going to hit Discord on Monday. If you're on our Discord server, we would appreciate you if you take the time to fill it out. It's so we can help figure out our tournament schedule for the rest of the year. We want your feedback, your input. So please feel free to fill it out. Maybe we should do give away something if we get like X number of responses to that survey. Stay tuned. I'm going to say we'll give away. I mean, what's a cool Pokemon that everybody likes? A shiny Jirachi. Thatch said it now. Shiny Jirachi. We'll give it away if we hit like 50 responses on that survey. It'll only be on the Discord. It'll only be on Discord. So please fill it out.
Yeah.
All right. So with that said, I think that's everything. So we're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
And welcome to the Puckle's Poke Quiz. Thank you to Mark for that introduction. So without further ado, guys, if you're ready, we will go ahead and get you your first question.
Let's do it.
Your first question this week is going to come to you from Mudkip Boy. What is the only Pokemon line that has three abilities that grant a type immunity?
I feel like I've heard this question before.
Yeah, and I think it's like one of them is Sap Sipper. No, what is that? Is it Emolga?
No, because Emolga's Motor Drive. It doesn't have Sap Sipper. I've been playing with
Emolga. I don't think it has Sap Sipper. I think it has, Emolga.
It's not Emolga.
It's got Motor Drive, Sap Sipper, and it's a Zebra. It's a Gen 5 Pokemon.
Oh, Zebstrika.
Yeah, Lightning Rod, Sap Sipper, and Motor Drive.
Motor Drive. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, Zebstrika.
Zebstrika and Blitzel are correct with the abilities you stated. Lightning Rod, Motor Drive, yay, and Sap Sipper. So that is one for one today.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Our next question this week is going to come from Redworthy. And he says, we're not going to do the one from Redworthy. Never mind, I don't like that one.
Oof. Okay. Unworthy. It was blue unworthy.
It's like a hard, what's it called? It's a hard, anime question. And I don't think those are fair sometimes, especially when it gets, like, ridiculous. Unless it's just, like, general, like, stuff from season one that everybody kind of knows because it's, like, the Pokemon zeitgeist.
Laughs in small child.
I mean, that's kind of what so. This one's from the British Gent. It's not much better, but I like the question, so. In Pokemon Adventures Gold and Silver, we meet Gold in his quest to catch Silver and bring back the Pokemon he stole. Cyndaquil wants to join him in his other Pokemon. What was Gold's first Pokemon?
I don't know.
Wait.
I like 100%, 0%.
Can we do the... I haven't read the manga.
I've never read a single page of the manga.
It's good. It's good, by the way.
I recommend it.
I have no doubt. Is it Pidgey?
Let me send you a cover of the, since you haven't read it, I'll send you a cover of that volume.
Okay.
Volume 9 of Pokemon, or is it Volume 8? Yeah, it's Volume 8. Gold and Silver start on Volume 8. Volume 8 is actually really, so this is a picture of the cover of, let me copy this image and I will throw it in Discord for you guys to look at. For those of you at home, go buy the Pokemon Adventures manga Volume 8 and you'll also see this. Don't look it up, go buy it. You actually should, by the way. I recommend the manga.
So he said it wasn't Cyndaquil, and I know it's not Poliwag because they wouldn't do that twice in a row. So we got a 50-50 shot between Apom and Sunkern.
I like Sunkern because that would make Sunkern a fun answer to a question. Because Sunkern's never the right answer.
Because I don't think they would do that. Mostly, I don't think they would put it in the background if it was gonna show up first.
I'll trust you. I don't mind.
My read some manga published in 2000 says that it's probably Apom.
Apom. Let's go with Apom then.
Apom, sure.
Apom is correct.
Okay.
He had Apom first. Yeah. It's really weird because, like, unlike Blue in, or not Blue, Red in the original Pokemon Adventures, Gold comes from a family that just, like, has a bunch of Pokemon already. And so it actually opens up with Silver, like, stealing all of the Pokemon accidentally.
Accidentally or purposely,
I forget which one, but he ends up taking like all of the Pokemon from like, because Gold just has them like in a backpack and like puts them down.
Sorry, I just meant to steal a few of these.
Yeah, and so like it starts off with Gold trying to go back with Apom, and they like find the Poliwag like fell out of the bag. It's a fun adventure. I Pokemon manga at least up to the end of Gen 3.
That's like cattle rustling, but also family abduction. Like.
Yeah, a little bit, right? But that is two for two. Your third question is your Pokedex entry question. So if you get it right on the first entry, you get 2 points. If you get it wrong, I'm going to make you guess, and then if you guess wrong, I'll make you do the next one. So this next one is going to be from Dave Vids, DAVEVIDS, 2003. Its Shield Pokedex entry reads, If the group is threatened, these Pokemon will band together to assault enemies with a chorus of ultrasonic waves. Who's that Pokemon?
Chorus of ultrasonic waves.
They have assaulted one of us. Come, let us sing at him. Is Noibat in?
Noibat's in this game. I was thinking something like Noibat or Whismur or something in that realm of... Because it doesn't seem like it'd be Zubat. I don't think you'd use the word chorus in like a Zubat entry.
No.
So Noibat seems more in the realm of that.
I'm feeling better about Noibat than Whismur, but I thought...
I'm fine with Noibat. I really have no idea. We can get to the second question.
Yeah, let's say Noibat.
That's what we're doing
okay,
for.
It's Pokemon Heart Gold, Pokedex entry reads. When feeding its young, it first chews its food into a paste, then spits it out for the offspring. I don't think you're going to get this. I was just trying to pick new people.
That doesn't help!
I was just trying to pick new people. I'm finding a better one. I think
that sounds bird related, but that's probably not true.
I'm going to give you a third Pokedex entry. That seems somewhat fair. Because yay. I don't think either of those is fair. Let's see. Wow. Okay. That's the gold entry too.
Hey,
well, most of the Heart Gold ones were, just the gold ones, but again,
So we're going to use its Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire entry. Insert this Pokemon's name here. Are with their friends or family. They keep their barbs tucked away to prevent hurting each other. This Pokemon appears to become nervous if separated from others.
What's a lonely sharp boy?
I'll also let you know that there are red and blue entries for this Pokemon that exist as well.
What? Barb with making noise.
I'm just trying to think of barbs. Because that's not a Sandslash/Sandshrew thing. What else gets like Poison Sting?
I mean, Seadra, but I don't think it's Seadra.
A bunch of seahorses show up outside your window and go...
that's my thought as well.
What like has family relationships too, I guess?
I mean, there's the Nidoran line, but that just doesn't feel right with the...
Ultrasonic waves.
Yeah, the ultrasonic waves.
Jinx?
I don't think it's...
No, Jinx doesn't have barbs. That would be horrifying.
That would be horrifying. I don't think it's Clefairy.
It's not Lapras.
How do you tuck away your barbs? Is there like a hedgehog I'm missing?
I don't know. What chews up food for its babies? That's not even helpful.
That's the most helpful one I could have given you, FYI.
Like, is it Weedle or Beedrill? I don't think so.
No, because those are all about how they're crazy. Also, a bunch of caterpillars posting up going, not that scary.
I need an answer here, guys.
Truly, I have no idea.
Nidorina, I don't know.
Nidorina's correct.
What?
that is 100% what it was. I'm not even kidding. It is Nidorina.
Now I'm just imagining a bunch of Nidorina T-posing going,
yeah, it is. Literally none of the entries are good. None of the entries are good. They're just all bad. All right. So that is 3 for 3, though. We're going to go ahead and give your multiple choice or your multiple answer question. This question has 5 answers. You can get up to a possible total of 3 points here. This one's going to come from Academic J. The way this is going to work is you're going to have 2 strikes. After you present me with 2 wrong answers, you will get kicked out and we'll just take whatever points you have. These are going to come from... this one comes from Academic J, like I said before. And this is pertaining to ride Pokemon, but in Pokemon X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
What are the 5 quote-unquote ride Pokemon in X and Y?
Oh, that's not too bad.
Lapras, Skiddo.
Gagoat as well.
You didn't need to lock
one
in
like
me.
The...
You have to lock
okay,
in.
Okay, lock in Skiddo, lock in Lapras.
Those are both correct, yes.
Lock in Gagoat.
That is also
you ride
correct.
Him in Lumiose.
That is also correct. That is 3. You have one point and you're halfway to a second point.
I'm trying to think of where you can... Oh, there's a winter area.
Oh, Rhyhorn, lock in.
That is correct. That is 2 points. There is 1 more Pokemon.
Mamoswine, lock in.
That is correct. Mamoswine is the other one. So yay! I don't know that is Lapras really a ride Pokemon. I thought it was just like it has its own unique surface.
If you use Surf on Lapras,
yeah, it has like
a
unique,
specific sprite shows up.
Yeah, it has a unique sprite for Lapras. Is what I thought.
Which, yeah,
I guess I'll take.
And you're given one specifically, like you don't just catch them. He's like, hey, if you use Lapras, it looks real cool. You should use Lapras.
Yeah, I understand that. all right, so that's 3 points. So you guys are up to 5 for 4 right now. Yes?
Yay.
Is that how math works? I think so. No, you're up to 6. Yeah.
Do we miss this for second question?
No, you just missed the extra bonus point. Plus three, though, is 6. So you're 6 for 4, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so your next question is your base stat question, and this one's going to come to you from Solferet. Not fully evolved Pokemon has the highest base speed of not fully evolved?
What
Pokemon?
NFE has the highest base speed?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so as like a standard, we know Voltorb's at like 100 or something like that.
Yeah, but there's got to be something above it.
Oh, for sure. I'm just giving as a baseline.
Like,
you do still have the hint, too, but you can always cash it in if you get this right.
I want to cash that in if I can. I know for a fact Sneasel's like 125 or something.
No, it's 115, but yeah.
115, but I know Sneasel's above it.
Yeah, Sneasel's definitely higher. So 115 from Sneasel is now the current highest. Nothing drastically loses speed upon evolving. Nothing. Dracloak's not above 115.
And is it not fully evolved, or is it unevolved? Because those are different.
Not fully evolved, NFE.
Okay. I can't think of anything that beats 115.
No, 115 is a pretty good stat for speed. I'm trying to go through and think if there's any others. Obviously, it's not from Gen 7. I don't think it'd be anything out of Gen 6. I don't think Frogadier is going to be that high, because Greninja's only like 121. So I think that feels like a good number. Are there any speedy electrics we're not accounting for that can evolve? Mm-hmm. I think Voltorb is probably the highest, and that's not above Sneasel.
Yeah. I'm good lucking in Sneasy
like
Boy.
I feel like we missed something obvious, but we'll take it. Sneasel.
Sneasel is correct. With a base 115. Second place is a three-way tie between Kadabra, Scyther, and Electabuzz with 105. And then followed up by Dracloak at 102.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Good old Dracloak.
Hashtag nice. So that gives you guys 8 points today. So we're going to go ahead and lock all those in. So 8 goes there. We have to add numbers there. We got to click the buttons. And currently in first place, we have Whimsicott with 15 points. In second place, we now have P. McGee with 14 points.
Woo!
In third place, we have Sigma with 12 points. In fourth place, Claude9 with 9. And in fifth place, we've got Lydian with 8. And in sixth place, we've got Jushiro with 6. Everybody else has yet to get on the board. It's still anybody's
game. I
guide
others to a treasure I cannot possess.
It's almost there. It's still anybody's game. It can be anybody. It's looking at the schedule, it's probably Claude's. But that's that's a different story for a different day. All right. So without further ado, we will go ahead and just kick it on over after this short break to the topic. Hey guys, make sure to check out the Puckle YouTube this week and see if you can catch our Soul Silver Puckle Plays Nuzlocke, where we're going to play Soul Silver and we're going to Nuzlocke it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you head on over to youtube.com/Puckle Podcast. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be spin-off games and which ones we'd like to see return, because TPCI seems to be like, yeah, 1 a year sounds right. It seems to be the case. Like, have you noticed? Like, we had Mystery Dungeon DX last year, which I thought was really cool and very out of the blue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Honestly, it was really, like, I had a good time playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up again recently. It's still fun to play.
Yeah,
I'm more biased than others, but I really enjoy playing it every now and again.
Yeah. No, it's a really fun game. I enjoy it. I like the mechanics. It's a good time. The other thing that I really like is, I mean, we have Pokemon Snap coming out as well, right? It's not exactly a remake like DX was, but it's an old franchise that they breathe new life into.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're getting two spinoffs this year.
Two? Are we getting another one?
Yeah. Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. It's a remake of the Gen 4 games. It's totally a spinoff, guys.
I wouldn't call that a spinoff, but I knew Pokemon Snap is going to be a good time, I think. I wouldn't be surprised if they like shadow drop something over the summer, like Sleep. But at this point, Sleep's like a meme. I don't think it's a game that anybody wants.
I was on Twitter and someone was pointing out that of the like six things that were announced during that actual conference, the only things that came out were eventually Sword and Shield and the smile, like the brushing your teeth game
that dropped like immediately after that conference was done. Yes.
Yeah, because they talked about like Quest coming out in China and getting an expansion everywhere else. Never happened.
Yep.
The Sleep never happened. The controller for Sleep never happened.
I wonder if they had such grand plans after that 2019 conference. And then literally, because it was 2 weeks later that they announced Exit, and then the Pokemon community, like, imploded because people just, like, not just because there were people who were upset with Pokemon's decision, but, like, Pokemon fans were at each other's throats in general.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they're just like, whoa, 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 maybe we shouldn't do all these new things. We should settle on trying to figure out how to fix this problem before our franchise gets screwed over. And so I'm wondering if they're just like everything just stopped and they're just like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't develop the meme game. I think Detective Pikachu could very well still happen mostly, but I think they want to like try to time it with the release of Detective Pikachu 2, the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That was supposed to come out too.
That got greenlit. It's still in production. Same... I think it's still in production.
I know, but that was the same press conference.
Yeah. Detective Pikachu 2, Electric Boogaloo, was announced there. It's because they were still riding off the hype, because the movie had come out like 3 weeks before that press conference, and it did really well. It was getting praises as like the best video game movie of all time until Sonic the Hedgehog came out.
Undeserved. Sonic the Hedgehog, I mean. Anyway.
In my opinion, I enjoyed Sonic the Hedgehog more than I enjoyed Detective Pikachu. But I'm probably more critical towards Detective Pikachu because it's a franchise that I more actively play.
This is true. This is fair.
This is not my movie review podcast. It doesn't exist, but if it did, I'd have thoughts.
You absolutely can. I think in terms of being a casual moviegoer who's not sitting there trying to like critically look at the films or anything, I think I had more fun with Sonic the Hedgehog as a viewer than I did with Detective Pikachu. And the difference might be that like I host a Pokemon podcast, and so I'm very integrally involved, and I'm going to be more nitpicky about Detective Pikachu than Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, yeah.
There's absolute bias in my statements. Like, there's just no way to take that bias out. Like, I can't look at Sonic the Hedgehog and Detective Pikachu and be like, yeah, they can be viewed independently. I'd be like, but Greninja shouldn't look like that, though, right? And
oh, dear.
Oh, there was just an article about Detective Pikachu 2 that just came out where they talked to Justice Smith and they asked him about Detective Pikachu 2 and he said that he doesn't think it's going to happen.
Oh.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Okay, never mind. That's why the game was canceled. They don't want to set that expectation up and then...
And they interviewed him and they asked him, do you think Detective Pikachu is still going to happen and would you be willing to participate? He says, I would love to participate. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think we just kind of bury our hopes. I don't think it's going to happen. I really hope so, though. Oh, no.
That's like the contractual obligation speak. Like
that means nobody's talked to him whatsoever about it. And he's like, yeah, it'd be a fun. Yeah, I'd love to have a job. Like that's what it is.
That seems kind of par for the course for Pokemon. They have like their main line that continues to do well. They have something on the side that actually looks promising, and then we never hear about it again.
They just play around with the side games. I think it's just like the history of side games. Like, always and forever. They literally have these really cool ideas. They play with it once or twice, and they're just like, let's move on. Honestly, I wonder how much of that is just, like, TPCI, like, trying to get their creative expression out. Like, the higher-up, something like Junichi Masuda, who's always like, oh, we gotta make Pokemon different, blah, blah, blah. When, honestly, you don't. You don't. I'm gonna be completely honest. If you want Pokemon games, you don't have to make them too different. You get to come up with one good idea every 15 years, and then you can ride on that for a while. I mean, it's the honest answer. I don't know. I really love watching people talk about Pokemon Sleep though all the time. I don't know if it's just because it's a meme or if it's because like it's because
it gets clicks.
Because it's gonna be good. I guess. I don't know. Like I do not hold my breath for Sleep. Two, I do not want Sleep. Three, I do not want the peripheral that they literally called in great Nintendo fashion the Pokemon Plus Plus.
I can't hear that and not laugh. It's just the right? dumbest name.
Like, I don't want that. Why would you want something that's so stupid? I don't. The things that the things I really enjoyed, and Pokemon Go kind of fixed it, was like the Pokedex 3D app that came out for the 3DS a really, really long time ago. Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
It was really cool because you could do like AR pictures and stuff with it, and it was really nifty in that regard. Like Pokemon Go, I think, does that better and has more Pokemon now.
Man, the DSi really was like...
No, that was a 3DS.
Cell phone between that and online battles. And...
It was a 3DS app, Pokedex 3D Pro.
Oh, right.
That was a 3DS app. Still. I have it. I bought it. It was very expensive.
Was it like $25 or something?
It was more than $25. I think it altogether ended up being like $50 or something. Or maybe it was $25 Jeez. Altogether because it was like you had to like buy each generation separately. it's an absolutely ridiculous prospect, but that's the kind of stuff it had. I'm surprised Pokemon Home doesn't use like the models from Go now that I think about it.
Yeah. But
that could be a me thing. You know what we need? We need Pokemon Learn with Pokemon Typing Adventure. We never got that in the US. It might work better.
I had a European localization. The main character's name is Page Down.
Perfect.
Which makes me want to throw something at a window.
That's perfect. What a perfect name. I want to be... Yeah, no, we didn't get a European release. It's also on the DS. I don't know how I feel about that. Like,
it had a keyboard attachment.
No. I understand that. I agree with you. I still don't know how I feel about that. It's not an issue of like keyboard size. It's an issue of screen size. Right? Like, it's just like, okay.
Is it an adult keyboard or is it like a tiny...
That's a good question.
That worries me.
I have no idea. All right, but yeah, you guys both had other things that you wanted to see. We spent a good 10 minutes just talking about ridiculous side spinoff games, but there's some like legitimate ones to want.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. There's, of course, I think this is more in the niche area, but I would love to see Pokemon Pinball continued. I thought that was a very pleasant little game to play on Game Boy and Game Boy Advance when that was around.
I even think it works on TV, by the way.
Yeah.
They brought the Ruby and Sapphire one to the Wii U on the eShop.
Wait, they did?
Yeah.
I might be doing something today.
I bought it. I own it. I really enjoy it because that one was fun for a couple of reasons. Because if you remember the original Pokemon Snap or Pokemon's Pinball, not Snap, they had like the little rumble pack built into the cartridge and they didn't have that for Ruby and Sapphire Pinball. But if you plugged the Ruby and Sapphire Pinball into a Game Boy Player on your GameCube, the rumble pack actually worked on the controller.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was it just like a fun little bit of trivia, but I also think Ruby and Sapphire Pinball makes more sense than Red and Blue Pinball. But
yes,
would also be down for that just being on the Switch. It's such an easy game to do as well. Like, just drop like a pack, you know. It's
like
a really
$20
good time.
Pack or $15 pack for both of them.
Yeah, it's a fun game. I am a big fan of it. And there's a lot of replayability there. They only had two tables in both of them, and you can spend hours.
I know.
You could spend hours on that just because you're trying to collect all the Pokemon.
It's not the mix-up I would have thought, but honestly, a long-form goal for a pinball game helps so much.
Yeah, it really does. It's actually incredibly good. I recommend it. 1,000% if you have the opportunity to play Pokemon Pinball, go play Pokemon Pinball.
If you are one of the other three people that bought a Wii U, you can play this.
Absolutely recommend it if you own a Wii U. Like, the Wii U has like no games on it except for all the retro games that you've ever wanted to play. That is the only reason to buy a Wii U is because you want to play retro games. No other reason, I think. Like, your Breath of the Wild's better on Switch and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about, we talked about pinball, but yeah, Linian, what did you get?
Okay, so the one thing that I really want, it doesn't work anymore, because it only worked on the DS and that was Ranger. You'd have to come up with an entirely new control scheme, and frankly, I don't want to see those games with, motion controls.
Oof, no.
That would destroy my wrist. So, one thing this is gonna sound like a bit of a meme, and to some degree it is, but I'm also kind of serious. Look, kids can't buy Pokemon TCG packs in the store because adults are terrible.
Oh, you're so right, though.
Bring back the Pokemon TCG RPG games. Use it to onboard kids into the TCG, get them hooked on that paper. Look!
No. So I don't disagree with you. Like, just do like a Yu-Gi-Oh game, but with the Pokemon TCG, right? Like a Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh World Tour, I should say. I don't think there's actually been a good Yu-Gi-Oh World Tour game since like 2011, but you could easily do that.
You could even do it the trainer challenge in a region is for kids who are like a certain age, but you're 10 in any other region you could go, but here you can't. So you have to go play TCG because you're bored for a summer. Mom kicked you out of the house.
I would love another TCG RPG game. I think you could pull it off. Honestly, anything that like updates the client for TCG online, like I'm being completely honest.
Think of that. You could use it to run TCG tournaments.
Yeah. Anything to do that. I mean, maybe you don't do it on Switch because you don't want people to think that they need a Switch to be able to participate. I mean, that's the good thing about the good thing about the current Pokemon TCG client is that it's free.
You know what? Putting this on a phone for like $10.
Yeah.
I could see that, you know?
Yeah, I think that's totally the way you do something like that where you migrate from our current setup to maybe put just like a story mode essentially in what we already have.
Yeah.
I love the old games, and A-Drive tried to say like, hey, look at the hype. You should release a game or something like that recently. I don't agree with that entirely because I think a lot of the hype is from a lot of older people who don't care about the video games. And I think it's just from people who are quote unquote investing. I put investing in quotes because you're buying cardboard. I think it's a scary investment. If you're also the amount of money some people are investing in that, like you could just go buy a house or something. And one, you know, I'm not a fan of that because of like economic reasons, but like it's a better investment than buying cardboard.
So a thought I kind of occurs to me is because they know what they're doing longer term, obviously, than we can. So what you do is you say, hey, you go to your TCG department. You're like, hey, in 2 years, we want the game to be coming out. You more or less have the playtest through a year out. So we'll do a cutoff. But in that slot, put a set that we can introduce through this game. And then do a promo set when it comes out. So the promo set is both in the game and like a pack-in copy. Like you get all 15 cards in the little sleeve if you want to do it as a Switch game. If you want to just do it as a phone game, then just run it as like a short time limited release and then watch those get bought up and small children cry.
I don't know. I don't think that's a bad idea because I'm really confused why we didn't get the second TCG game to begin with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that would have been a lot of fun. The first one's okay. It is very slow. Yeah. If you try to go back to it, it's very, very slow. But it's I remember playing that as a kid. That music still gets me too. I love that music from that game. I love that music. I'm gonna start playing that on stream from now on. We're just gonna play the Pokemon TCG RPG music.
You could even have like I just like the idea of it set in the instead of like the real world, it's like the Pokemon world, but for some reason you just can't participate. So you're walking out and you're like, and there's this guy with a Sceptile, he's like, show me a card with this Pokemon on it. And then you do, and he gets like really excited. He doesn't give you anything. He's just happy to see his Pokemon in a card.
You go to the Pokemon professor's lab and he's just like, whoa, 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 these aren't for you. And he like pulls out three decks of cards. And
That's the problem, is this region has good funding for sciences, so they don't need 10-year-olds to go out and catch things. I got a grant, kid. I don't want the liability. You just cards or something.
Go play cards.
I bought these at Target.
Oh, no. The Pokemon TCG stuff has just always been handled so poorly, I'd be scared. I would absolutely be scared. But I know McGee's got another one. We'll segue hard to that.
That's fine. I mean, so I would love to see Pokemon Stadium come back, but more specifically, I would just love us to be able to play some kind of mini games with Pokemon again.
Right?
I feel like that's just such an underutilized aspect that people would absolutely enjoy.
I think it's just like we just haven't done anything with it. I feel like it's very underappreciated.
Like they had it in like some of their original games. You had like Surfing Pikachu. You had some of those things with Leaf Green and Fire Red. And then you had Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2. And then it just kind of cut it out hard.
It was like after Pokéathlon, they just stopped doing it.
Yes. I think that was the finale of it. So like 2009-ish was the last time we had like a mini game in
2010.
Pokemon.
2010.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't disagree. I think the mini games in Pokemon Stadium are super underappreciated for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think one of them being that Pokemon Stadium is just like, I don't know how to say it. It's like Oh man, I love those games. So many, like, this is the reason that I'm going through a lot of trouble so that we can do on stream like a playthrough of like Red and Blue and then Gold and Silver, like on cart, so that we can go and we can do all the challenges on Stadium. Like, I'm going through the trouble to set this up, and then when we're done, we can like take them to bank. That's the whole Ooh. Idea. Yeah. I'm going through a lot of technical trouble for this. I think I've got it all set up. I think all I have to do is get batteries and the cartridges, and then we're done.
You know, when I think over it, you could do a lot of really interesting little party mini games with like some of the new designs.
Yeah.
Like a fossil, like the Galarian fossils. I don't know what you'd do with them, but that mix and match nightmare fuel is perfect for like a silly Mario Party game. That's what we need. We need Pokemon Mario Party.
Yes, 1000%. I've been saying this for years. Pokemon Mario Party would be great.
Especially because Mario Party is like fallen off the rails. Like, it's really lost its charm.
It's because I feel like they gave it to people. It suffered from almost the Pokemon problem of just like, we need to do something different when all people want is just the same thing.
Yeah, like, boards. They just want new games.
Literally, new boards, new mini games. That's all we want. You don't have to change the rules. We do not care. Just let us play the game.
Put the car down. Put the car down.
Exactly. Like, it's never been the same since Mario Party 7. Mario Party 7 was the last good Mario Party.
God, they were so good. I remember the classics on GameCube. Love the GameCube ones.
All four on GameCube were solid. Like, it was as soon as they went to the Wii that everything was bad.
Yes, they fell apart.
Mario Party 8, you could see the cracks start to form, and then Mario Party 9, 10, and then whatever nonsense they put on the Switch, all downhill.
Super Mario Party wasn't good, but it was fine. It was better than the last ones of
Yeah, but the bar was all like on the ground, and they stepped over it, but barely.
I just realized I was gaslit by Super Mario Party on a podcast. This is my week.
Yep, it was upsetting. It was just like I agree with that, but I think Pokemon would be a very good. Like, if they want to do a spinoff game, that would be the perfect Pokemon spinoff game. Is to just do that.
Oh, absolutely.
The thing I liked about Pokemon Stadium 2 particularly, though, that I don't think you could recreate exactly if we just did like Pokemon Party, is in Pokemon Stadium 2, they had like a lot of little Easter eggs where if you had certain Pokemon in your cartridges that were in the transfer pack, one, you could get new Pokemon for different mini games.
Mm-hmm.
Like for the Ferret Ball, you could have a Girafarig.
Yep.
Or you could have like a Crobat in the Golbat mini game.
Mm-hmm.
A Scizor in like the Pinsir Scyther one. It was a bunch of little stuff like that. And even then, like, you could also have like your Scyther or your Pinsir in that game as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that's like a little Easter egg charm that like I love, especially from like Pokemon. I really like that my Pokemon's up there doing the mini game with me. And I don't know, like, it's so nonsensical because it's the same game regardless. But it just feels like it just means more. I don't know.
Like, yeah.
You never really got to do it as a kid because you rarely had like the connecting pieces back then to make it happen. And so I always knew it existed since like early 2000s, but I never got to try it out with like a Girafarig in that for a game.
Next time we're together in IRL, we'll have to do it for for a stream.
Yeah, that'll do it.
We'll have to do it. I'm gonna do it. It is my intention to like at some point on stream just like have a series of me playing through on cart, Red, Blue, Yellow, and then we're gonna play Pokemon Stadium and go through all the challenges, get the Surfing Pikachu. we're gonna do it. We're gonna like do the national decks on cart or some or not, well the regional decks on cart. It'll absolutely be worth it. It'll absolutely be worth it.
Are you gonna have Omanyte for the Togepi game?
Yeah. Oh, I know, right? There are like a lot of cool little side things you could do with that. I think every single one of those mini games has an extra Pokemon.
Yeah. I'm looking at it now. There's actually not it's not as many as I remember, but there's still some fun charm.
No, ones. It's just like even then, like I said, like just having your Pokemon there makes a difference. Even if it is still your Togepi, it's still fun that it's your Togepi.
Yeah, it's still fun that it recognized that and you got to do that.
Like it's such a little thing that changes nothing about the game. I just really appreciate. And
oh, absolutely.
I want more. I literally just want to live in the year 2001 again. That's literally all I
have.
Want.
I have another.
Okay.
But again, I worry it's going to sound like I'm joking.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm dead serious. So in 2005, as a tech demo for the DS, there was a download play exclusive game that ran in Japan, in Poke Park in Japan. mm-hmm. and it was a fishing rally. Now, I'm serious when I say this. As an eShop Switch title, I would love to see a $25 version of this, because I like sport fishing games, and seeing them with Pokemon sounds really fun.
I may be entertaining your like reeling in a bunch of Remoraids and Magikarps, yeah. and all of a sudden you get a Gyarados on the line,
and then you have then it's like a boss battle. And what's great is you already have the Snap engine. Just go over to Bandai Namco and be like, "Hey, we have a bad idea, but we want to try this." You could get different lures. You could get a bunch of anime references with like Ash and Misty lures and stuff. Mm-hmm. People lose their minds.
That'd be
and
cute.
Honestly. You'd get to fix the saddest sentence in all of Serebii at the bottom of this page about PokéPark Fishing Rally DS. A non-Japan release is not known as of yet, but watch this space.
There's so many neglected pages on that website where Joe just hasn't like updated them in years because he's forgotten about them.
You know what? Don't update this one. I'm holding out hope. I'm a PokéPark Fishing fan.
I do not expect
I'll buy a DS again to get this.
Buy a DS again. One more DS, please. I actually bought a DS more recently than I should have. I bought a DS in the year of our Lord 2020. But that was for different reasons. So.
Yeah, but no, I would seriously enjoy a fishing game. It'd be fun.
I would love honestly, anything they want to give us that's just not straight Pokemon. Like, I think Legends is a really cool concept that's mm-hmm. coming out, and mm-hmm. I think, like, we're going to call it Mainline, and sure, I think the line between what Mainline and not Mainline is going to become very blurred in the future.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we're going to get things like Legends, where it's just like, yeah, this is a different type of Pokemon game, but you can still transfer the Pokemon to home when you're done, and you can remember them from your adventures in that regard. And the Battle Ready Mark in Sword and Shield really make me feel like that's the real mm-hmm. concept there.
I think that Pokemon battling is never going to be better in another thing, if that makes sense. Like, the games are already pretty much what you want from the battling system. Yeah. I don't think that they're bad. What I want now is take these other cool mechanics, like the TCG or the cool world that you built, and let me play in that space doing something other than battling. That's gonna be fun!
Other than just generic Pokemon journey, I think. Like, literally anything other than just generic Pokemon journey, I think is all anybody wants.
Snap, I'm gonna go in and take a bunch of pictures about this natural habitat.
Yeah.
It's just a photo rail shooter, but putting that Pokemon skin on it makes it special. Do that for other genres!
That game would not be successful if it did not have Pokemon in it.
Imagine if it was just, like, Steve Irwin presents a safari. Like, would not have sold.
No, absolutely will not. It needs that Pokemon coat of paint. It's not a bad game either.
No, it's great.
I'm excited for Snap. That's only 2 weeks away. That's very exciting.
Yeah. I'm very pumped.
We'll see how that goes. I think this is a good place to stop, though. We have, like, a lot of fun things that we want. So next week, you guys can tell us what you would want, as a not mainline Pokemon game. I guess that's maybe that's what I'll call instead of a spinoff game. Not mainline Pokemon game. What do you want? I'm just kind of hoping that there's something left in Snap that we're just not thinking of. And like, they're just like, you can transfer this to home when you're done. And I think that would be cool, but
maybe that's what's the update.
That's the update. So that is going to be it from us here. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come right back at you though with the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip flop. And welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 889, Zamazenta, the warrior Pokemon.
Its sword dex entry reads, its ability to deflect any attack led to it being known as the Fighting Master's Shield. It was feared and respected by all.
Those days have passed. It's kind of okay.
Yeah, shield form, or not, or it's not shield, or crown, it's crowned form, right? Crown form?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, crown shield form.
Wow, this gets like worse compared to like, this is so much worse than Zacian. The fighting type one doesn't help, and steel fairy, I will argue, is the best dual type combination you could ever be in the game of Pokemon.
Oh, absolutely.
But
it's like it's one of those memes where it's like, you know, X team at 100% power, X team at 99% power.
I would have liked to see the typing swapped with the base. Like, I'd like to see the base stats with the different typings. Like, because I would love to see, like, bulky steel fairy and then, like, super offensive steel fighting. But
yes.
Better Lucario and better Mawile.
Yeah, I would love to just see that because I think the other way around, one just, like, crazy outshadows the other.
Better Mega Mawile and worse Lucario.
Yeah.
If Zamazenta got body press, it'd probably be okay.
Which I'm surprised it didn't.
Well, yeah, they're like, they were very worried about breaking Zamazenta, but I guess they could care less about how broken Zacian was, so.
Yeah, right.
Nothing we can do makes this Pokemon balanced, so just forget about it. But this one we can save.
Yeah, right. So, like, 92 base HP, 130 base attack, 145 base defense, which isn't even that bad. You gave Steelix body press. Base 80 special attack because it doesn't use it.
Steelix doesn't get a plus one when it switches in, though.
I guess that's true. And then you got 145 special defense and 128 speed. It gets slower when it goes to crown form, and that hurts me a little bit. Because you know who doesn't get slower when they go to crown form? And it's Zacian.
It gets faster.
It gets faster, which is absolutely nonsense. I do not like that unfairness. Zamazenta's mistreatment hurts me on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
It just hurts me on a personal level. But let's go ahead and look at the poke. I think it's at like less than 1% usage in VGC.
I'd be shocked if it was anything higher.
So, this is a VGC team, is Zamazenta crowned. It's obviously holding a rusted shield, because if not, you don't get crowned. And it's got Dauntless Shield as its ability, so you get that plus one to defense. Level 50, this is a very weird EV spread. We do not know all of them this week, because they're all weird, except for the ones that Lillian's going to talk about. 236 HP, 44 attack, 4 defense, 100 special defense, and 124 speed. I'm sure the 124 speed is just to, like, outspeed something like base 100s or something.
Probably.
And it's a jolly nature. It's got Behemoth Bash, because why not? If you're trying to input this into something like a breeder bot on our Discord server, please make that Iron Head. It's got Close Combat, Wide Guard, and Coaching, because I don't think it does anything else. Does it just not have coverage?
No, because it's getting suspect tested in OU right now, and the coverage move you run outside of those two is Wild Charge.
I believe this.
And then you have Howl to get your attack up.
I hate this. I hate everything you just said. It got Coaching, so I guess that's something.
Yeah.
That makes it useful. But okay, we've also got... Coaching increases just attack, right? And defense.
Attack and defense.
And defense. It's a bulk up.
Targetable bulk up.
Targetable bulk up. That's what I thought. Okay, so... That doesn't help, like, a lot of the Pokemon on this team, which confuses me. It helps Entei.
No, it helps the second guy, too.
Oh, it is? Okay, never mind. Thundurus is physical. Never mind.
Yeah.
Thundurus is holding an Assault Vest. It is Defiant, because that's what you run. 252 HP, 100 attack, 4 defense, 28 special defense, 252 speed. All very standard, obviously. That was sarcasm. Jolly Nature, and it has Fly, Wild Charge, Superpower, and Electroweb. Whoever was designing this team was going crazy. They gave zero special attack IVs. What? There's not like a foul
play. Gotta avoid that power swap Cresselia.
Yeah, right?
So I think Zacian is sped to outspeed Thundurus so it can give it a bulk up before Thundurus attacks.
Oh, that makes sense to me. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So this is pretty standard Thundurus if you're running it in VGC. It is a good Dynamax target to really play with.
Yeah. Its moves are actually Max Airstream, 2 Max Electrics, and Max Knuckle.
Well, Electroweb makes sense for speed control.
Yeah.
Electroweb's good speed control, and I like that a lot of things got it this gen.
Yep.
It is a different Icy Wind.
A better Icy Wind, sometimes.
Icy Wind was one of my favorite moves, like, back in the day for VGC, so I'm happy to see a different Electroweb, or a different Icy Wind also be taking a giant role there. But
this team's all about speed control.
Yep. McGee, I'll let you talk about the next section, because I think it's a different mode that the team can run in when you're not trying to go big with Thundee.
So we've got Entei, who can also pair up with Zamazenta for the same kind of bulk up shenanigans, running a Life Orb, Enter Focus, because that's its only ability nowadays. 4 HP, 244 attack, 4 defense, 4 special defense, 252 speed. Why this couldn't be 252, 252, I have no idea. Jolly Nature, Sacred Fire, because obviously it's his best move. Stone Edge and Stomping Tantrums, because they're good coverage. And then Protect. Because
it's VGC.
Yeah. And then he pairs okay with a Venusaur we have on the team, Wide Lens, because if you have Wide Lens, you're obviously going to have Sleep Powder, which we will get to in a moment. Chlorophyll is an ability, 116 HP, 52 defense, 244 special attack, 4 special defense, 92 speed, modest nature, Earth Power, Sleep Powder, Protect, and then what I think is an absolutely terrible move on this team, Frenzy Plant, because you don't get to set the sun unless Entei goes big, and if Entei goes big, that means Venusaur is stuck using Frenzy Plant, and that's no fun at all. So, a bit of a conundrum.
I mean, it's fun, it's just bad.
It works okay if the other team is running sun, but if you need to create your own sun, Venusaur's having a really tough time.
I feel like this would be a better... Maybe that's the only reason you bring Venusaur, is like to anti-sun or whatever. I don't know. Like,
then why do you have Entei?
Yeah, I don't...
Just give it Earth or Energy Ball. Like, Frenzy Plant, ugh.
It's bad. It is bad. It hurts. It makes me feel... Eh. All right. Lydian, we'll let you go. Finish it up. Finish it up. Take us home. Make us stop hurting.
This team was made to hurt me because I have to talk about a genie. But here we are. Tornadus is a Pokemon. It's got a mental herb because it's basically just a hard support mon and you don't want that getting hit by taunt. Whimsicott outspeeds you. It's got Prankster because that's the only way a support mon is good anymore. 252 HP, 4 special attack, 252 speed, timid nature. It's running Tailwind to get your speed doubling. With Prankster and a mental herb, you're guaranteed to get that off. Taunt to shut down other supports, Icy Wind for speed control, and Protect, because it's VGC. And if you can say, oh, they're going to attack into my support, might as well make them waste the turns and get another Taunt or Tailwind off. Maybe even an Icy Wind. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we've got Spectrier. It's got a Focus Sash, because Spectrier has the defenses of paper. It's got Grimnay as an ability, because you don't have an option. It's modest, because there's enough speed control, you don't need Timid. 4 defense, 252 special defense, 252 special attack, 252 speed, 0 attack. It's got Snarl, because it's a Spectrier, and that's one of its better moves anyway.
Spectrier is just Shadow Ball. Like, that's just its thing.
Yeah.
Spectrier has Shadow Ball and 2 other moves I guess you can hit, which are Taunt and Will-O-Wisp. Don't. If you're clicking them, you failed.
It's either Fast Taunt, if you really want to do something with it, or it's just like Shadow Ball the Pokemon.
Yes.
Snarl for spread, I guess.
That is what it is. All right. That is the team. If you want to try it out this week in the PFTT or anywhere else, maybe you don't. Everything else will be on the Discord server. You can try it out. It's an okay team. It's just interesting. We got to do different things, you know?
Yeah.
So
we had to give Zacian his day in the spotlight.
His day in the spotlight, and he got it, and it's over now. We're sorry. We're sorry. We didn't know what they did to you. But that is going to be it for this Pokemon of the episode. You can watch P. McGee pilot it on YouTube at some point. But I think Shark Finnegan that time, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and so you can go ahead and check that out over on our YouTube channel. We're going to go ahead and kick it on over now, guys, to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
Mail! And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you guys write in your emails to pucklepodcast@gmail.com. We typically give you a prompt. Last week we asked you, what Pokemon would you like to give a single type to? Also, if you are from North Dakota, please let us know. And if you are, you automatically win what's known as the Green Tauros badge, brought to you from our sponsor, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
Yay. and so, like, I said the North Dakota thing only because the North Dakota thing actually matters. Because we did get one from Tara, and she did tell us that she is from North Dakota, and I can confirm that she is from North Dakota. The email that she sent in is, "Hi, Tara here. Love your podcast, and I happen to live in North Dakota. We do, in fact, exist. Now give me my badge." Well, Tara, ask for the badge on Discord, and we will give you the badge. you have won the Green Tauros badge this week. I'm sorry for everybody else who wrote in this week.
That hits different.
Isn't that funny? That's it's absolutely correct. She played the game. She wins.
Well done.
Everyone else is playing for second place.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. She's from North Dakota. That's all I wanted to know is it's one thing to know if North Dakota exists. It's another thing to know if people from North Dakota would actually take the time to listen to our show. Okay. Now we just got to collect the 50 states. We found one. To be fair, that's the only one, by the way.
Yeah, there's probably one of like 10. So we got 10% of the population of North Dakota listening to us.
Oh man, yeah. She came to the stream actually too, which was very nice. She came to my stream this week and she talked to me about North Dakota and we talked about how it's the last state that people visit and they pride themselves on that. You save the best for last.
Best for last is a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's something. All right, so this next one that's a real email is going to be from Hobby1K.
Hobie.
I always say this wrong. Hobie. Hobie1K. Hey, Puck Crew. Hobie1K here not being North Dakota. Writing in about Pokemon who should have gotten a second type. This is actually a topic I've given thought on many occasions. It usually crosses my mind every time I see a certain evolutionary line introduced in early Gen 4. Have a guess? Well, if you're thinking of the Luxray line, you are absolutely correct. To me, Luxray's design screams Electric Dark. I would even say that the Dark typing should start with Luxio, but alas, the powers on high at Game Freaks deem this line to be forever mono-electric. I've seen a few Gen 4 ROM hacks where the patchers go in and add Dark type to Luxray, so I must not be alone in this thought. You are absolutely not. I think this is like one of the number one things that I ever see.
No. That or Fighting type?
That could be fun. Give it close combat, unlike Electivire.
Yeah.
So, Luxray was my singular thought the entire time I listened to last week's episode, but I scanned through a list of single-type Pokemon just to see if anything stuck out that you did not discuss. I must have an eye for designs that seem suited the Dark type in mind. Arbok and Purugly look like you could put Dark on them and no one would question your reasoning. Yeah, I actually agree with that. I don't know that we need more Dark Poison-type Pokemon, though. Like, we have, like, a lot of those.
There's, like, three.
It's because Evil and Poison kind of overlap a bit.
Yeah. However, we're living in the time of Gen 8, where Pokemon based on an octopus don't have the water typing. So all I can say is aesthetic alone must not hold much weight when Game Freak assigns typing. It's a good thing Game Freak didn't put any wild Graplock swimming around in the overworld. That would have been just confusing. As always, I love the show and community you've made here. Keep up the good work. Hobie1K. Graplock being water type is like the number one answer we got from all of these. By the way, we got like 17 emails this week. And we're reading a selection, so if your email's not read, it's because there were a lot of people who wrote these in. You gotta get on every question, and you'll probably get in. That's what you gotta do. All right, so this next one is, I wanted to read this one because this was a newer person, and I wanted to get them on the show. This one's from Kester. Greeting, Puckle host. Also, Kester has very beautiful paragraph breaks. And I would just like to mention that that is a larger than it should be factor in getting your email read on the show. Kester here, writing in for the prompt. One of my favorite Pokemon sprang to mind while listening this week, Ninetales. I'm sure I'm not the only person who thought about Ninetales should have been a fire psychic type as a kid. For me, this is because of how it's presented in the anime and how the Pokedex talks about its mystical powers. In its Omega Ruby entry, it's even described as having the ability to take over others' minds. There's like a whole episode on that in the anime. Fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it was like in the first season or two where like there's a Ninetales that just like takes over everybody's mind for like an episode. And it's a really weird episode. The other type I've heard tossed around for Ninetales is Fairy. I don't think it's a good fit, but it could also work. The Pokemon is described as being vengeful and vindictive, which along with its aforementioned powers could fall under the capricious fae theming of the Fairy type. It does also match with this Alolan variant, in addition to filling a type combination that's otherwise unused. That's all I have this week. I hope the email wasn't too long, but as I'm sure you had many responses, thanks for listening, or reading. Kester. Well, we also listen to you, bud. We're here to listen to your problems. Thank you for that, Kester. I think
he is. I can't guarantee myself on that.
I think that was, I mean, I like Psychic Fire. I just want a Psychic Fire type in general. Or not Psychic Fire, Fairy Fire.
Yes.
That's the one I want. I want that.
Fire? Ninetales screams Fire Ghost to me, if anything, but that's just a personal.
That could be good, too. I'd be into that. I want Naruto Dog to be something. Yeah.
Please don't.
All right, so next up is going to be this next email from Shiny Snivy.
Yeah, and I've got that one. Hi, Shiny Snivy writing in for the first time. I only started listening a few weeks ago, but I have been binging like mad. I listen to probably 2 or 3 episodes a day. I have a lot of spare time at the moment.
Why?
Oh, man.
Why?
He probably hears me talk more than his parents in a day.
Yeah, that occurred to me in college because I was following a podcast and then watching like this streamer. I was like, I probably hear this voice more than my mom's, and it messed me up for days.
There have been a few topics I've wanted to write about, but I just never thought to get around to it. This week, however, I really wanted to talk about some Pokemon I think should be dual types. The first one that is something I wanted since I watched the Black and White anime is Superior as a grass and ground type. I'm not sure I want this so much, but it always just felt right to me, and I think it's partly the fact that we so often see Pokemon such as, and including Superior, stick their tail into the ground to resist damage from the attack in the anime. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. As something as big and heavy as Superior shouldn't be a pure grass type. You know, now that they gave him Contrary, he's probably best off just being monotype grass. I feel like he'd be busted if he had more stab to work with. My next two, which are also sort of the same Pokemon, are Nidorino and Nidorina. My idea for this is that the Nidorina line should be Poison Ghost and the Nidorino line should be Poison Psychic. I think it would be a nice touch to a line that I think is super underappreciated. And I also think that if you gave them separate typings, it would make people think about which one would be better to have on their team. Alternatively, you could make them version exclusives in the next game, which would be yet another reason for people to consider which version they should get. The types, I think, also fit the design of the Pokemon. Like, just look at Nidorino, how it is not a ghost type. I might have mixed up Nidorino and Nidorina at some point in the paragraph, and I apologize if I did. The final Pokemon is a bit of a weird one, but it's Avalug. I think it should be an ice rock type. I don't really have any reason why, but just looking at it compared to certain rock types such as Crustle, the designs are very similar, and even though it's supposed to be an iceberg Avalug really just looks like a big rock. The fact that it is so big and weighs just over 500 kilograms, it really just has the characteristics of a rock Pokemon. Anyway, I've been rambling on for a while, and this is a longer email than I had intended. I also have an episode of the podcast to finish. Have a nice whatever time it is in your time zone, Shiny Snivy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Thank you for that one. Our next one is going to be today from Captain Smitty.
So, ahoy, Puckle crew. Captain Smitty here, finally writing in after listening to the podcast for years. First off, thank you guys for the awesome content and community. The giveaways and tournaments are so great, and all the, Puckly podcast goodness that entertains my brother and I on our work commute makes the week so much better. I love the topic of Pokemon types. Halfway through, I was imagining how great a fighting electric Electivire would be, and then Thatch echoed my musings. I thought for a while about what else I'd love to see, and I couldn't get out of Gens 1 and 2. In parentheses here. Ah, childhood. The first thing that comes to mind is an old favorite of mine, Ampharos. I think Ampharos being an electric fairy makes a lot of sense. Now, I wouldn't normally necessarily choose this to happen, but I also wouldn't be upset if it did. If you wanted to get really wild, check it. Dragon Fairy regional variant of Ampharos, give it Regieleki's transistor ability, and make Smitty one happy camper. Something else I thought would be cool would be give the original Marowak a ghost type. Sure, a lowland Marowak is a ghost, but the OG could have been from the start. What if the whole Lavender Town incident was not an isolated event? Thonk emoji. Finally, Eevee. Give Eevee all the types. Okay. And this is where we stop talking about adding types to a monotype, and my patience is tested. Stay with me here. This has been an idea I've had for years, and I've always loved it. Give Eevee a normal type evolution, Eevee-on, ability, Eon. It's Protean and Libero, but obviously it has to have a different name. Protean. It was right there.
Okay, so this is like a reasonable explanation for this phenomenon, though. And I'm okay with it.
Be really thematic for Eevee and a really fun Pokemon to play with. One Eeveelution to rule them all. And they did that in the manga. I haven't read it, but I know they did.
A little bit in the manga, not quite. It was, in the manga, what happened was they're these four stones that are evolutionary stones.
The mega stones.
They don't get consumed like other stones do. Like, they're just like special magic stones.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. This all happens in the
red and blue.
Well, in the yellow manga, actually. This is where they're brought up, is in the yellow manga. Because in the yellow manga, what happens is Yellow has to go find Red because Red's missing. And he hears about these stones. And he's like, oh, I have to go get them so I can evolve my Pokemon. And like he hears they're all in the bottom of the, like, essentially the port at Vermilion City. And he goes down there and he can only find the Leaf Stone. And so he finds the Leaf Stone. He brings it up because he has to evolve something. And the rest of them are with Red because he has this Eevee that has like an unstable genetic makeup that's essentially a Digimon. And he can just throw the other stones at it and make it evolve. And what happens eventually is it evolves due to friendship and becomes like a permanent Espeon. Hence why you battle an Espeon at the end of Pokemon Gold and Silver.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact. This is the canonical reason. But I digress. Continue.
Well, that's all for that. Thanks again for the great stuff. Life before death, Captain Smitty. He gets my references! Okay, sorry. I had to. I didn't see that until now. Life before death, Radiant. Alright. Postscript. I've been having a blast with the PFTT. It's the first actual tournament I've played in. And somehow I've won all three of my games so far. I did not think I'd be doing so well, especially when I was paired against my own brother. Oh boy, there's some drama. Hope to play against some of the hosts soon, even though P. McGee's Jigglypuff memes in the Discord are really starting to psych me out. You keep your puff away from me.
You keep your puff away.
There's like a 50% chance I play him next week, so I'm looking forward to that. There's only four teams that are 3-0, and we're both two of them. So.
Oh, that's cute.
He gets me, he gets Jeremy, or he gets Tapu Nani, so it's kind of pick your poison.
I think of those three, I would choose you.
At 100% fair. My team is
at least
flawed.
You're the idiot running around with a Jigglypuff.
I think out of those three, I would choose you 100%.
Yeah,
I would be like, yes, for sure. I need to play P. McGee out of those three because
this whole tournament is just the inevitable showdown of Tapu Nani and Jeremy for the crown.
You might not be wrong.
We're all just here filling space.
You might not be wrong. All right. So on that note, I guess that's everything. We gave out the Green Taurus badge already to Tara. Sorry that the
Should
rest
we give
of you...
out one of the old ones to someone else for trying?
No, that's disappointing. That's sad. They should earn it for reals. And they can earn it by emailing us next week at PucklePodcast@gmail.com, letting us know what spinoff game they would like to see come back at PucklePodcast@gmail.com, or even a new spinoff game. Or non-main series game, anything. What kind of Pokemon game would you like to see that's just not traditional Pokemon? Send it in, PucklePodcast@gmail.com. You can, of course, keep up with us throughout the week by coming over to our Discord server, which is a link in the show notes. You can always follow us on social media over at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr. You can also go ahead, check out P. McGee over on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. You can always go over to Puckle Plus for more content on Thursdays, another podcast feed. And you can watch us on Twitch over at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, where I stream on Tuesdays, P. McGee sometimes on Thursdays, and sometimes me on Thursdays, and sometimes Whimsicott on Sundays, and like everything else all over the place. So definitely
it's like three times a week sometimes.
Yeah, it's like three times a week, I'd say, sometimes. Yeah, Whimsicott's been getting into it. She really has a good time with it. But yeah, that's over at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, because branding is hard. Especially when you didn't think Justin TV was going to turn into Twitch. And then you can always help support the show by going over to Twitch, dropping a Twitch Prime subscription, or you can always just go over to our Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. With that being said, I think that's everything I wanted to cover. So we're gonna call it quits here. And I've been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Linian.
And I have been P. McGee.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.